on Friday night. On Friday night, we talked a little bit about the crucifixion and the resurrection, and Friday being Good Friday, the emphasis is on the crucifixion. And the crucifixion, for our resurrection to be celebrated, we have to understand the gravity of the crucifixion. One of the things that I would like for us to consider this morning as we look in the Word is that Jesus' crucifixion, as he was put to death, as he was offered up as a sacrifice by his own people and executed improper by the Roman government, by the Roman soldiers, is that nobody took his life, that Jesus laid his life down. So his crucifixion, his sacrifice, was a matter of his own will. He agreed. God the Father sent him to do that very thing, to die on a cross, to pay for what we've done wrong. Now we can see in Matthew in chapter 26, again, if you have your Bibles, in the book of Matthew chapter 26, the very first book of the New Testament, starting in verse 36, we can see that Jesus came with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, "My soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me." Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He had told the disciples already that he was going to go and be offered up as a sacrifice, that he was going to die on the cross. And just a few verses before verse 36, where we picked up, you can see in verse 33, when Jesus told them what was going to happen, Jesus said this must happen. Peter told him, now if you're not familiar with Peter, the disciple Peter, in today's terms, he would be a roughneck. Maybe a redneck, not refined, not educated, not any of that. He was very passionate, and he loved his Lord. When his Lord said, "Peter, I must go and be offered up," this is what Peter said. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Truly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you shall deny me three times. And Peter said to him," this is verse 35, "Though I should die with you, yet will I not deny you. Likewise also said all of the disciples." All of the disciples pledged their life to Jesus. As Jesus was saying, "I must lay my life down." Jesus, being God himself in the flesh, he knew that he had to surrender himself to the will of the Father. And that when he went to the garden, the Bible says that we just read that it said his soul was very sorrowful because he knew what was coming. He knew what he had to surrender. And he went a little farther in verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." And he says in verse 40, "And he comes unto the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, What could you not watch with me for even 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we can probably all say amen to that. Our spirit is always willing, right? But our flesh is weak. No matter what it is, whether if we're going to eat right, our spirit is willing, we want to do it. But our flesh is weak when there's a cheeseburger around. Or our spirit is willing to be close to the Lord. We want to be close to Him. We want to spend time with Him. We want to feel His presence. But the flesh is weak. We allow other things to get in the way. So we go on after Jesus said that. And He went away again in verse 42 a second time. And He prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup may pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Jesus prayed now the second time, "Father, if there's another way, if there's another way, let it be done. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he that betrays me is at hand. So Jesus, he goes on, as we enter this crucifixion, we understand the fact that it's voluntary. And again, as on Friday night, when we talk Friday night about how we must surrender ourselves, that the Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 6, the Bible tells us that we have to be crucified with him. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Galatians, he said, I am crucified with Christ. He says, the life that I live is not me, but it's Christ that lives in me. And again, we have a tough time making that connection. You know, Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection and what that means to us. You know, if we don't have a good grab, if we don't grab a hold of that, it doesn't mean anything to us. You know, we think, yes, I understand this guy named Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the grave, but, you know, it doesn't really mean anything to me. But one thing we have to understand is that Jesus' sacrifice, his crucifixion, was a matter of his own will. You and me being crucified with Christ is a matter of our own will. Jesus understood that it was going to hurt. He understood that it was going to be painful. He understood that it was going to be there was going to be betrayal. As we do the Father's will, we have to understand if we surrender ourselves to the Father, it has to be a matter of our own will. And even Peter, right? Peter being one of his closest disciples, he said, No, Lord, we're not going to have this, and I'm never going to leave you. In the same way, when we surrender ourselves to Christ and allow ourselves to be crucified with him, we allow him to put to death the sin that is in us, it's not going to make sense to those people around us. It's going to think, people around us are going to think, well, you're crazy. Why would you do such a thing? I'm sure the disciples were thinking, Lord, that's not what we want. That's not what Jesus wanted. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to die. But he did want to do the Father's will. And his love for all of mankind overpowered his desire to continue to live, or his desire not to go through pain and suffering. Again, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over just a few books. You're in Matthew right now in chapter 26. If you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the very next book is Romans. So if you can go to Romans in chapter 6, we're going to kind of complete that thought from Friday's Good Friday devotion. And in Romans in chapter 6, starting in verse 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And he's putting together the fact of Jesus' crucifixion and its application to them in Rome. And the same goes for us. The application is for you and me. Right now, we're in Sharonville, Ohio, but wherever you are, the application is for you. Now, Easter Sunday morning, 2020, whether you're, man, maybe you're quarantined in your house, maybe you're not allowed to go anywhere, maybe you're in the hospital, maybe you're sick, wherever it is that you are, this scripture is true. And true means that it's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for all of mankind. So in Romans in chapter 6, starting in verse 3, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to them, he says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Don't you understand? When we accept him, right, when we surrender to Jesus, when we surrender to him, we are baptized unto his death. We are saying the same thing that Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thy will be done. You know, we can't pay for our own sin here on this side of death. Jesus paid for our sin. If we leave ourselves to pay for our own sin, we're going to die. We will be separated from God for all of eternity in hell. But if we accept him now, if we surrender to him now, if we surrender to his crucifixion, right, we submit to what he's done to us. The Bible says there, what the Apostle Paul just said, that if we are baptized unto Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death. So if we've been baptized to his death, we've allowed him to put to death all the sin in our life. What's left? I'll tell you what's left. Resurrection. He says in verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if we allow our sin to be crucified with Christ, we accept that gift that he gave on the cross, we're not staying dead, right? Our sin is dead. And if we are no longer living, as he says in Galatians 2:20, if we're no longer living our life, but Christ who lives in me, then the resurrection that Jesus, when God raised Jesus from the dead on that very first Easter Sunday, that same resurrected life is in us. I mean, that's a pretty significant Easter Sunday, right? If we are raised from the dead, if we allow our sins to be put to death, the only life left is life in Jesus. So we also walk in newness of life. And in verse 5 of chapter 6, he says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we allow ourselves for our sin and our flesh to be put to death and allow his resurrection to be real in us, then our death, right, we allowing our sins to be put to death, our new life in Jesus is in likeness of his resurrection. When he rose again from the dead, he was raised a physical body, and he was still in the power, as he was always, in the power of God the Father. And in verse 6, he says, and knowing this, we read this Friday night, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. So if we have allowed our old man, our old body, our old sin to be crucified with Christ, and we are raised with him, that our body of sin will be destroyed. Our body of sin is totally destroyed. It's forgiven. It's justified. We are raised living a life in Christ. That's what the resurrection means to us, if we know him. Verse 7 of Romans chapter 6 says, For he that is dead is freed from sin. Wouldn't you love to be freed from sin? I would love to be freed from the effects of the sin in my life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says, Pastor Tony doesn't say, the Bible says that you were a slave to sin. That we're a slave to our addiction, we're a slave to our gossip, we're a slave to our lying, our cheating, our stealing, we're a slave to our lust, to our adultery, we're a slave to all those things. And you can name whatever sin you want. It doesn't matter. We're a slave to it. But if we allow the Lord to put to death this body of sin, we are freed from that sin. Now, the effects of that sin, this side of heaven and our flesh are still going to be there. You know, the Bible says that we're freed from all the eternal consequences of our sin. Now, I mean, we still have the remnants of that sin in our flesh. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't freed us from that sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He says in verse 8 of Romans chapter 6, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, and death has no more dominion over him. And that if we, as he is raised from the dead, death has no dominion over him. If you allow your life to be raised from the dead, of the death of sin, then we no more to die, but we'll live forever with him in heaven. He says in verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. If we allow the Lord to put to death the sin in our life, We confess our sin, allow Him to forgive it, allow Him to wash it away with the blood that He shed that Good Friday on the cross. Then that is, it is gone, the sin is gone forever, and we no more have to die to sin because the Lord has already washed it away. He's already taken it away. And then finally in verse 11, He says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. And if we're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ. We're just like Jesus being raised from the dead. Now, as Jesus came to earth, God sent Him, right? The Bible says in John 3:16, I bet everybody listening and now live and everybody who hears this recording has heard this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God sent His Son. God sent His Son, but God is calling you. God is calling you to receive His Son as your Savior. Why? Because He died a death. He died a physical death. And He rose a physical resurrection so that your sin might die a death, never to be raised again. And you are raised in the same likeness as Christ. God sent His Son. And the Bible says in John 6 and verse 44, He says that the Father calls us. The Father draws us. The Father draws us to Him. And right now, if you don't know Him as your Savior, maybe God the Father is drawing you, is calling you. And if He's calling you to be a part of His resurrection, even though everyone around you, even though you yourself might be doubting and say, well, I don't want these things to be put to death. I don't want to die. Nobody wants all that. But we have to decide, do we want the life, eternal life, the life of Jesus? Or do we want this life, which is kind of an oxymoron? It's a life of death. Is that what we want? So if you choose life, if you choose life, the life of Jesus, the resurrected life, the very life that we're celebrating this day, right? We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus this day on Easter. You think, well, I would like to, but how do I do it? So how do I accept it? How do I believe it? How do I know? And in that same book of Romans, if you're following in your Bible, you can turn probably two pages over to Romans chapter 10. And the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking to the church at Rome, he tells them in Romans chapter 10, he tells them how. He said, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you will confess. If you confess, I mean, you don't have to confess to a priest. You don't have to confess to me. You don't have to confess to anybody but to God. And what does that look like? It looks like us bowing our heart in prayer and saying, God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I am dead in my sins. And Lord, I want to be alive. I want my sins to be put to death, and I want to live. Right there in verse 9 that we just read, we believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. God, I believe that Jesus died, and I believe that You rose Him from the dead, and I want to be part of that resurrection. He says in verse 10, the very next verse in Romans chapter 10. So we read verse 9, and now in verse 10 He says, for with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. With our heart and with our mouth, we confess Jesus as our Lord. We confess that we have sinned and we need to be forgiven. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want not my will, but I want Your will to be done. Lord, from now on, because You have offered to put my sins to death, and now, just like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. I still live, yet it's not me that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And if you want that, if you understand that there's no other hope aside from Jesus, and you want to live in Christ, confess Him as your Savior. Say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need to be forgiven, and I want to live a forgiven life. I want to live a resurrected life. I want to live in the power that Jesus lived. I want to live that way. I'm tired of this death being inside of me. I'm tired of being a slave to my sin. I want to live free. In just a couple of verses down, we read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. In verse 13, he says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that's you. You know, I had an uncle a number of years ago, my Uncle Pete. And my Uncle Pete, he got cancer. And he fought a good fight. But eventually, the Lord took him home. And I remember seeing my Uncle Pete laying in his coffin. And my Uncle Pete was laying in the coffin. He had a suit on. And he had a pin on his lapel. And I'll never forget it. He said, the pin said, "I am a whosoever." I'm a whosoever. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you want to call on the name of the Lord today? Do you want this Resurrection Sunday to be your Resurrection Sunday? Maybe you understand that his death was voluntary. His death was a matter of his own will. He decided to follow the Father's will. You have to decide if you're going to allow your sins to be crucified with Christ. It's a matter of your will. God sent Jesus the Son. God's calling you to Jesus the Son. That's what the resurrection is all about. Later on in Matthew, we were in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 27, we can see in Matthew chapter 27, you can probably go there when our video is done. The Bible says that on the first day of the week, early in the morning, Mary and a couple of others went to anoint the body of Jesus. They went to anoint the body of Jesus, and they went to the grave, and the Bible says that the earth shook. And the stone rolled away, and an angel whose apparel was shining like lightning, was standing there. And he says, "Jesus, whom you seek, is not here, for he is risen." Man, he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And we can go and we can look and think, you know, my sins, my life is over, my life is ruined. But we can go if we surrender to Jesus. And just as those people did on Resurrection Sunday morning when Jesus was raised from the dead, the angels were celebrating, the angels were proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. If we accept him as our Savior now, confess our sin, ask him to forgive us, his Holy Spirit will come into you and live in you as our resurrected Lord lives. Even as the angels celebrated on that day, the angels will celebrate on this day if you accept him as your Savior. Because it is the same thing. Once what was dead is now alive. So I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now, maybe your heart is heavy, maybe I don't know what the Lord is, how the Lord is working in you. But if part of his word has convicted you, we're going to pray. And wherever you are, if the Lord is speaking to you, then you answer his call. Because as we talked about in John 6:44, no man comes to the Lord unless the Father calls him. If the Father is drawing you now, answer as we pray. Heavenly Father, I know that as this is going out and we had a couple of technical problems, Lord, I pray that whoever is being drawn to you now, that they simply bow their heart. Whether their eyes are closed or their head is bowed, it makes no difference. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would simply say, "Lord, I know that I have sinned against you, and I know that I have no hope apart from you. Jesus, I am a sinner, and I believe that you died to pay for my sin. and you didn't stay dead, but you rose again. And Lord Jesus, I want you to take my sins away so that I can live unto you. Jesus, I pray that you would live through me. And Father, I would glorify you the rest of my days. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me from my sin. And it's in Jesus' name, because of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, we're about ready to wrap up our Facebook Live Easter service. I pray that the Lord spoke to you. And if he did, on this Facebook app, you can send private messages to Sharon Baptist Church. Many of you are my friends on Facebook. You can send me a private message, or you can text me or call me. You can send an email or any of that. You can visit our website at thesharonbc.com. If you want to hear this recording again, it's going to be posted in probably an hour, maybe two. So this will be on the website, or if there's any other messages or sermons you want to see or hear on that, you can find it there also. I pray that the Lord blesses you this day, and that we spend our day in worship, understanding that Jesus rose from the dead so that we might have life. Thank you very much for joining us.